want you to turn to Joshua in chapter 8. Looking forward to this week. Obviously, we're looking forward to Wednesday night, when the house groups come and share, and we'll talk about upstairs. Looking to forward to Friday. And what is it? Friday's here, but Sunday's coming. Come on. Yeah, I love Easter. It's a fantastic time. It's really good. Right, okay, Joshua and chapter 8. This is quite a sensitive chapter, because what we're going to be looking at tonight is all to do with recovering, and recovering things that are lost, recovering maybe areas within our life as we look through this. I love to see athletes really bounce back from an injury and play even better than what they did before. You know, these guys and these women who lose limbs, and then in a few years they're running the 100 meters. They've got these, you know, all, it's just incredible. I so admire them. It's a bit like riding a bike and falling off and getting back on and kind of mastering it and not letting it defeat us. I love to see sports teams, mainly a rugby team, that's losing, and there ain't much time left, and this rugby team's got to really, really come back, and it's going to win. Have you got a call, Elsie? Can we all? She's got a phone, she doesn't know how to turn it off. Is it? It's not Marco Polo, is it? Is it one of those? Oh dear. Have you sussed it, Ferg? Is it done? Looking at kind of winning, how do we win? How do we overcome? How do we regain things? And this was Joshua's position. Joshua in a place where he just didn't know what was going on, and he was a real mess as a leader. And we're looking at regaining this in chapter 8. I want to encourage us this evening that God already knows when you and I are going to fail. He already knows beforehand. It's not taken by surprise. But he's always there for us to kind of pick us back up and to teach us how to win through times when we've really failed. Maybe things that you and I have maybe even not got by. And he's teaching us how to gain victory over these. One of my wife's favorite fellas is Stephen Backshaw, the Deadly 60. I don't know if anybody watches any. Does anybody see that? Ruthie, oh, we've got a few. The Deadly 60. Tonight I've got, not 60, I've got three deadly D's. And the first one is despair, the second one is discouragement, and the last one is defeat. And all these three things, when they're accumulated together, can really make us feel powerless and helpless. Things that are beyond our control. We begin to see things through grey lenses. Everything looks grey and we kind of lose colour. And this is how Joshua, I think, must have really felt when he's first of all, he experiences an incredible miracle over the River Jordan, and then even more of a miracle when they kind of really took Jericho. But then Ai, something so small that absolutely hammered them, and they were defeated by this. And I guess the question is, when we go through things that nobody else knows, we put a brave face on, but these three D's really kind of take us apart. I've been here a few times. How am I going to get out of this? Because I have no strength. I've lost my courage. How on earth do I move on? I want you to just turn to chapter 6 of Joshua. And I want you to look at the last verse. It says these words, verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was in all the land. He became really famous. Look at verse 7. Verse 1. But the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things under the ban. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah from the tribe of Judah, took some of the things under the ban, and therefore the anger of the Lord burned against the sons of Israel. Verse 2. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. I want you to notice here, God didn't send him. God didn't send him to Ai, not here. It says Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. Look at verses 6 to 8. Then Joshua tore his clothes, obviously he'd experienced a big defeat, and he fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening. Both he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Oh Lord God, why did you ever bring us this people over the Jordan, only to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been willing to dwell beyond the Jordan. Oh Lord, what can I say since Israel has turned their back before their enemies?" He's really bellyaching here, is Joshua. He's really struggling. They've been defeated. He's the leader. He's on his face. He's got dust on his head. Sometimes you and I, we can tend to slip into our shell. We can go back into our shell. We begin to hide. We begin to become selfish, self-focused. And then the pity party begins. We've all been there, haven't we? We've all been there when we have really bit the dust and these difficulties come in and we feel defeated. And no one knows, but inside we've kind of shrunk. And the courage is gone. And the faith is really, really low. And this is absolutely stunning, the way that God restores Joshua. We've got such a God who knows where we are at any time and all that we go through, and he's right there. It's beautiful, really. And he brings us through things. Listen to this. I wrote this down. Jesus didn't endure and go through and win and conquer all that he did so that you and I could live in despair and defeat and be discouraged. He is our freedom. He has overcome and dealt with all these three D's, including all of our enemies. Wow. Why should we live like that? But sometimes we do. And God's there and he's always going to pick us up. Choice is an attitude. Can you remember the 10 spies versus Caleb and Joshua? Caleb and Joshua's attitude. They just never ever let despair or defeat or discouragement even enter into their hearts or minds. They wouldn't allow that. So when they went into the land and they came back, if you remember, they came back with a glowing report. They saw all the negative stuff, but they saw God above everything. And yet 10 spies who were so negative, full of discouragement, full of despair, influenced, if you remember this morning, that's what we're talking about, influenced nearly 2 million people to go away from the will of God. Just because they had lost hope, they'd lost faith, but God hadn't given up. Listen to David in 1 Samuel chapter 17. He's a young man, and God's people are facing the Philistines, and there's a guy there, a bit of a giant called Goliath, and he is taunting the children of Israel. He's mocking God. The troops, the soldiers, they're in despair. They are paralyzed warriors. And these three D's kick in to all the soldiers. They are absolutely petrified. Now, I want you to put yourself in the place of a soldier. You're in the army of God, and this giant is before you, and he is taunting you and mocking God. What are you going to do? And here's these soldiers who've all been trained in Saul's army. They had the three D's: despair, discouragement, and defeat. They completely backed off. Then David turns up on the scene. Who does he think he is, taunting God, mocking God? What about us, God's people? David's not having this. He's just a young lad, maybe late teens. And what he does is he stands before this giant. He's really not bothered because he's got such a faith and a trust in God. These three D's didn't enter into him. And he absolutely fell, this giant. And all of a sudden, these three D's disappeared from the ranks and from the army, and courage came back into him. It's amazing what you and I can do and what you and I can be as influencers when you and I have got faith and confidence and trust in God. Wow, you and I, we can be contagious Christians. But we can also be contagious in a negative sense when we're kind of bellyaching and we're a bit moany. And that's okay because God knows where we are. It's okay to go through these times. Why? Because we're human. Everybody goes through these things. And this is what I want to encourage us with. Is that there are times in our Christian life, if you look at verses 11 to 17, I'll tell you what, let's just read this chapter. Chapter 8. Well, maybe just read part of it. Verse 1. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear or be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given it into your hand, the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and its king just as you did to Jericho and its king. You shall take only its spoil and its cattle as plunder for yourselves. Set an ambush for the city behind it." So Joshua rose with all the people of war to go up to Ai. And Joshua chose how many? 30,000. Not 3,000 as before. He just added a naught. 30,000 men, valiant warriors, and sent them out at night. He commanded them, saying, "See, you are going to ambush the city from behind it. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and it will come about when they come out to meet us at the first, that we will flee before them. They will come out after us until we have drawn them away from the city, for they will say they are running away before us like they did before, so we will run before them. And you shall rise from your ambush and take possession of the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And then it will be when you have seized the city that you shall set the city on fire. You shall do it according to the word of the Lord. See, I have commanded you." And it goes on, it talks about the ambush. Later on in that chapter, it talks about they absolutely wiped everything out. They burned that city to the ground. There was nothing left. There were no people left. And I'm going to look at that a little bit later on. And then what they did is he set up kind of a monument. They worshipped God. And we're going to look at that in about 10 minutes' time. Every Christian goes through these three D's. Listen to this. The enemy will have a plan until that plan doesn't work anymore. The enemy will have a plan to try and make you depressed, doubt, discouraged, all these three D's, defeated. He will do anything. And if he knows that his plan's working, he'll keep on doing that. Listen to Paul. We are not unaware of the devil's schemes. We know what the enemy is up to. So here, it's not to be ignorant of the enemy's schemes. And so the rest of the chapter, as we read about this ambush and God's people take this city, they plunder it, they take all that they need, and then they set it on fire, and then they wipe everybody out. And what I'm going to say just now is very important. Because I used to think, why kill everybody? This is typified as the enemy. This is a stronghold, not just a foothold. And what God is saying to his people, just as he's saying to us in Christ, that I have given you victory, be ruthless with the enemy. Don't give him one inch. You kick the enemy out of your life. I want you to totally destroy. And I want to encourage you tonight of who you are in Christ, not to allow any junk into your life. And this is what I've got from chapter 8. God raises Joshua up. I know you've fallen. I know you've been defeated. But now, Joshua, let me do it. Let's do it my way. And so they wipe everything out. There is nothing left of this city. Can you remember a few weeks ago, maybe last week, a week before, we talked about the horrificness of what these people did. Child sacrifices. I mean, the orgies. They defiled everything. And it's a picture of the enemy. It's a picture when we read on the news and we watch stuff on TV. Some of it's horrific. And God said, I don't want you that in my life. I don't want to see that in you. I don't want to see that in my church. So folks, be ruthless with the enemy. You know them temptations that come. You know them things that sometimes he'll try and get you down by A, B, and C. It's to be ruthless. And it's to tread all over the enemy in your life. Number one, there's five things that I want you to remember as we look at this passage. Number one, God never fails us. Isn't that beautiful? He never leaves us. Even when we make mistakes, he's still there. And you'll find that in verse 1. This is what he said to Joshua. Just look at these few verses just as we round up tonight. The Lord said to Joshua, do not fear or be dismayed. He knows he's failed. And then God speaks to him and said, Joshua, don't be scared. Don't be dismayed. Joshua, I'm with you. And I think Joshua had heard words very, very similar to that in chapter 1. Never to fear, don't be discouraged, don't be defeated. I was thinking about some of the oil tankers that have really crashed into, maybe around Shetland, and they've really caused some grief. They've got internal problems, they've crashed, they've been shipwrecked, there's oil all over the sea, damaging wildlife all over the shore. And then it's kind of clean-up time. And sometimes that's a picture of our lives. I see Joshua here, that he's crashing, he's burned. He's on his knees, he don't know what to do. He's just, I don't know what he's feeling. I don't know what he's like. But I know that when you and I go through them times and we feel like we've crashed and we've made a bit of a mess and we don't know what to do, that the Holy Spirit, he begins to work. And he begins his surgery in our lives. And he begins to clean up. And he begins to kind of weld things within us and fill them gaps and restore us again and make us new. Isn't that lovely about God? It's absolutely incredible that God would do that with us, even when we've failed. Even when we've kind of been foolish with him and we've made stupid mistakes. I want to share something really personal with you. I went through a time where I never, ever thought that I would recover. But God just comes along and he picks us up. And it took me 2 years to recover. It was from a burnout. But you know them times in your life where you think, how on earth am I ever going to get through this? How on earth, Lord, are you going to pick me back up and set me going just like you did before? But God does, and he knows how to clean us up. Now, thinking here, this is a humiliating defeat. And then God reminds Joshua of his promise, and he encourages him. And he says to Joshua, Joshua, come on, let's get back up. Let's do it my way. We can take Ai. Look at the next verse. Number 2. Sorry, it's the same verse. Just to get back on track, onto the road of recovery, we need to learn not to repeat the same mistake again. It says here, do not fear or be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise and go up to Ai. Don't try what you did before, Joshua. Don't just try with 3,000. I want you to take 30,000. So don't make that same mistake again, just like you did before. And how often you and I get into trouble when we make the same mistake, sometimes over and over and over again. And for you and I to get on track and to move on, it's listening to God and obeying God because we love him. And what he's doing within our lives, just like in the life of Joshua, he is kind of moving us on. We learn, we fall, we crash, we get back up, we move on, and he's moving us on, and he's maturing us. Look at the next one, number three. God may ask us to return to the scene where we were defeated. Look at again, verse 1. It says, do not fear or be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise, go up to Ai. And see, I have given it into your hand. Wow. We've heard that before, haven't we? Four things. I'm going to gift you the king. I'm going to gift you his people. I'm going to gift you his city. And I'm going to gift to you his land. And so when God encourages you and I to get back up from a fall or something that we think we'll never recover from, God has just got incredible rewards, much more than what we had before. Because he's working within us and he's strengthening us. And I love this. I love this bit. Arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given it into your hand. And so Joshua is told to go back to where he was defeated. You and I know, through years ago, I think some of the older ones, wherever we were defeated or hammered, is go back. Go back and get victory. Go back and grow there. Go back and experience God. You know, I remember burning out in Dubai, and again, I never thought I'd recover. And God sent me back. I'll never forget it. God sent me back. I remember coming back on the plane and God restored me and renewed me. And it's just some things that God does in our life that when he sends us back, when we face our fears and we face the things that discouraged us, the things that seem to have beaten us at the time, and he says, right, I want you to, let's go face it together because we're going to win this. And somehow God uses that in our life, all this failure and all this defeat, and he uses it somehow because he's so good and he's so great, he can do that. Romans 8, verse 28, it's a well-known verse. All things work together for good. What does it mean by all things? Everything. Everything. That includes failure and defeat. That includes everything. God can use everything. Wow, Lord, thank you. He can use everything for my good and for your glory, no matter what we have gone through. And he told Joshua to return to the place where he was defeated. And do you know what I love about this? You'll read in this chapter an ambush. I think God's really good at ambushing and sometimes uses us in them ambushes. At one time, the chapter before, Joshua is running away as a coward when the men of Ai actually come because it was a costly defeat. 36 men? 34 men who were killed? This is why Joshua just didn't know what was going on. This hurt him as a leader. He shouldn't have lost anybody. But here they are. They're on the retreat, scared to death, petrified. All the three D's are in their life. Now, listen to this, they're running away, but they're actually knowing that they've got victory. Isn't that great? They're running the same direction, but it's like, we've got this. There's an ambush. Strategy. God's got it all kind of worked out. It's running smooth. Chapter 8 is just so different from chapter 7. And so, they take it to the enemy. They're not waiting. They just go for it. It's fantastic. Number 4. To get back on track or to get on the road of recovery, we need to remember that recovery and recovering lost ground is sometimes really painful. But it's worth it. It's painful, but it's worth it. I want you to think of, I think it's in Samuel, thinking about David. You know, when David was anointed to be king as a young lad, the next 12 to 14 years, he didn't have a clue what was going on. He ended up hiding in caves, and it got some kind of wacky wild warriors with him. And Saul were after him, trying to kill him. And David had the opportunity to kill Saul once or twice. And then we find that David decides to go and live in the Philistine area. And the Philistines take him on. And David and his army, his small army, small band of men, they are in the rear ranks of this Philistine army, ready to fight against Israel, that David's going to be king. Wow, talk about being between a rock and a hard place. That is really, really tough. Some of these Philistine warlords just didn't trust David, and so they complained to the kind of head guy, the head commander, and says, we don't want this guy behind us. You know, this is the guy who killed Goliath. And so they kind of sent him to this place called Ziklag. One of the Philistines, the head of these warlord Philistines, had given David Ziklag. David and his men went to Ziklag, and it had been burned to the ground. And all their wives and all their children had been captured. Goodness me, what on earth does David do? And you'll find this, I think it's in 1 Samuel chapter 20. His men were going to stone him. So you put yourself in his position. He's been anointed to be king. And all of a sudden he finds himself in the rear ranks of the Philistine army. Now he's in a city that's been burnt to the ground. Nothing left. And it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. He refused these three D's in his life. He refused to get down. He refused despair and defeat and discouragement. But I think when I look at that, he must have felt that. For David to be human, he must have felt that. And then it says that he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And then he began to speak to God like he used to speak to years ago. And then he said to God, God, what do I do? And this is what God said to him. Go and pursue and recover everything. So that's what David did. He obeyed the Lord, and him and his band of men, his band of warriors, they pursued the Amalekites, they recovered their children and their wives and all that they stole, and they brought it back, and they brought back more. Here's a reward for recovering. And it says that David, because he got friends in different cities, he had so much plunder, he took so much from the Amalekites that he began to share it with some people who had encouraged him. And so on this way to recovery, to recover everything that has been lost, God always provides more. And this is what he did here. Number five, last one. To get back on track, you and I need to remember the source of blessing. And what Joshua did. He said he built an altar to the Lord God of Israel. He asked the people to walk 30 miles from where they were, and they built an altar. In other words, what they were saying is this: Lord, thank you. The glory goes to you. We are grateful, and our hearts just want to say that it's you. It's not us, it's you. And so what Joshua did here, he remembered where every source of blessing came from. And really, that's about it for this evening. Just one thing. This is what I've twigged onto as I'm 54 years old, and I've been a Christian since I was 21. And there's something that's just hit me maybe just recently, over the last few months, is my repentance is becoming a little bit deeper. So kind of years ago, I felt a bit guilty and I wanted to put things right with God when I were kind of smoking and doing things that I maybe shouldn't have been doing, experimenting. And even as a young Christian, I was still doing things, and then things stopped and I kind of matured. But I was still doing other things. I was kind of wrestling with greed and lust, and bitterness, and we go through things, don't we? And then you kind of, you learn from that, and then you keep moving on. But what I'm finding as I'm getting older in my Christian walk, that my repentance is getting deeper. As God draws me closer and closer to himself, to become sensitive to his spirit within, not super sensitive, but sensitive. And I'm realizing that as I'm growing, and I kind of thought, oh, I'm growing. That my repentance is actually becoming deeper. And that's one thing that I've really noticed. So you think of David in Psalm 51. He really went through an awful time for a year where his life were robbed. And he felt awful, he didn't think right, his life with God was not on. And he went through an awful time because he just couldn't get right with God, trying to hide stuff from God. And God knows, and all he wants to do is kind of pick us back up and say, come on. This was Joshua. Joshua experienced an incredible victory. Renewed, revived, restored. And now he's ready. He's got a victory over Ai, and he's on his way. Beautiful. So folks, I don't know what you've gone through. We all go through things. But I just want to encourage you tonight that wherever you are, God can still pick us up. And he can still restore. And he can still renew. These keys for victory that you'll find in chapter 8. Let's pray, just as we bring things to a close. We're going to sing two songs in a moment. But just as we close, let's just thank God for being strong enough and able enough to turn all our defeats and all our failures and make them work for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, risen Lord, we recognize tonight that you are great and greatly to be praised. And there's nothing, Lord, that we can't bring to you when we're feeling in despair and when we're feeling depressed and we're feeling discouraged. Lord, you can use all that and you can turn it all around and make it work for us. Lord, how great you are. You don't come back to us saying, I'm sorry, I can't do anything. But you make it work for us. And we thank you here of what we've been reading about Joshua. We see him on his knees with dust on his head, and yet you picked him up and he went right back to where he'd been defeated and you gave him victory. And we know that in Jesus, that's what you do with us. And tonight we want to say thank you. Thank you for being kind. Thank you that we belong to you. Thank you for your patience. And thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us how to move on and how to grow in you. So, Lord, tonight, as we sing, may we sing with real thankfulness and worship within our hearts, Lord, as we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.